Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
There's something so powerful about the way God's presence puts everything in perspective, proper perspective, when we approach Him openly and honestly. Bowed before His glory, no petty rationalization or biased justification or defensive argument or attempted distraction can be offered. What's the use of such antics when we are beholden to the King who sees our heart's deepest crevices? Philippians 3:3 says, "Have no confidence in the flesh." The way up is down. The death of the carnal is the end of the curse. When we lay our carnality upon the altar, He helps us to mortify the sinful nature's deeds. See Romans 8:13. Don't try to hide that which cannot be hidden from Him. Don't waste life's precious days refusing to acknowledge or confront the innermost defects and problems resulting from unwise choices. We are all casualties of the curse. Yet, when we, through humble repentance before Him, divest ourselves of carnal aspects that harbor the curse, we see Him work a change that overpowers the curse and delivers us from what the Scripture calls the body of this death. If you have never offered yourself before Him in this way, or perhaps if you have, yet not for a while, then don't delay. Mere moments of true openness before Him does more than could ever be accomplished by going through religious motions. The stench of flesh is not that which ascends while the carnal nature is burning on the altar. 1,000 times no. The true stench of flesh is that odor of sin and pride and self-will. That foulness that oozes from our pores as we attempt life on our own, without trusting Him by building an altar and laying ourselves upon it. Cry out with the Apostle Paul, "Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." Philippians 3:10. That verse I cited earlier, Romans 8:13, says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Now let's enjoy a song from Phillips, Craig, and Dean that exemplifies the very thing I've just been talking about. This is the namesake track from their project entitled, "Where Strength Begins."
Here I sit with this cup of life in front of me. See, it's full, but I'm afraid to drink, because I've tried and missed the mark so many times. Can't forget it all, the hurt inside, but rising up from the ashes, these memories I reach for a help to save me. And I hear Him calling, walk on, to fear turns to faith and faith becomes sight, where strength. Climb back up ahead. I will fall, but I get up again, yeah. Because I know if I keep on walking to the fire, I'll be a newer, stronger man of God. And I'll rise up from the ashes of my memories, and I'll reach for His hand to save me. And I hear Him calling, walk on. Your fear turns to faith. Take up your cross pages of these memories, I reach for his hand to save me, and I hear it calling, walk on. Your fear turns to faith, and faith becomes sight where strength begins. Hey, yeah, you got to press on. Move on through the pain, move on to the place where weakness is, where strength begins. Take up your cross, get up and walk where strength begins.
Walk on, walk on.
Our most beloved stories focus on times of crisis. Humans may say and think that we long for peace, but as a species, we secretly think such times would be too boring. We are drawn to drama, to the aid of the underdog. Something deep inside elicits an exciting existence, times of horror haunting us, of evil evolving in our midst, and the crisis crushing us unless we can vanquish the demons and go from victims to victors. This is perhaps why some scoff at the Bible's promise of eternal life. Some supposedly wizened teachers' words betray an obtuse opinion that God never made any cosmoses prior to or after our own, except, they happily confess, his endless maintenance of a dull, fabled home of harp-strumming angels floating on cumulus clouds. How boring. Yet, the scriptures paint a different picture. War in the heavens, fought among angelic species predating us, and who, like humans, have broad capacity for choice, even the choice of rebelling against God. The precocious prospect of counting epochs like days and millennia like hours as we develop continually through aiding young, unique, future species is enthralling to this whispering warrior, who is quite certain that eternity with the good guys will be far more exciting than even our grandest imagination can grasp. One academic type that I heard recently has argued that it is supposedly proof of our evolution that we have grown from caring about family to village, and from village to caring about state, and from state to feeling patriotic about nation. He argued that the next step in our evolution is to care about our global populace. Listen, it is neither evolution nor good when the expediency of the masses overrules the conviction of conscience of the individual or the minority. Finally, in the end, it will be maturity, not evolution, that truly takes us even further than caring about all humans and creatures globally, onward to caring for new species God has not even created yet. There will be battles against evil, wars against tyrants, epic excitement and crisis. Are you up for it? I am. Now let's enjoy another song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their project entitled Where Strength Begins, the name of this track is A Time Such as This.
Such as this, we've been born, we've been blessed long before. began, we were in the Father's plan. By His love, by His will, He would see the dream fulfilled. And by the blood of His own Son,
that great song calls to our mind that we should not overlook the importance of the moment, the significance of the here and now. Speaking of which, we have a six-month update on the miracle of God raising Zach Sandy, a young man in our church, after he was struck and killed by lightning 6 months ago. Zach wrote, 6 months ago today, I was killed by a bolt of lightning. I went from the doctors saying I wouldn't live to, if I did live, I would be a vegetable, to, he may talk, but he will never walk again, to, I would walk, but I would have to use a walker, and now I'm able to jump and even run a little. The doctor is currently saying that I will make a 100% recovery within 5 to 6 months. God has done so much for me. The devil is going to realize he should never have messed with me, not because of the strength I have, but because God gives me strength. For those of you who don't know Zach's story, let me play the audio from a report that we published earlier.
When lightning strikes, it makes a lot of noise and can do a lot of damage. I'm George Rath. Thanks for clicking on the news page at KLove.com. Lightning struck a softball field in West Virginia while young people from a church-sponsored youth camp were playing a game. Doug Joseph is pastor at the Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg and talks about a member of their youth department, 18-year-old Zach Sandy.
The kind of young man Zach is should be mentioned. He's very dedicated to the Lord, faithful to God, faithful to church, and faithful to his family. And he was
A teenager struck by lightning at a church camp, a council.
We have been following the story of 18-year-old Zach Sandy, who was struck by lightning.
Lightning strikes at a church camp. One bolt hits an 18-year-old in the head. It's difficult to imagine 20 to 40,000 volts of electricity ripping right through his body.
Yeah, even more amazing, he survived.
The lightning reached out way far out ahead of a storm that had not gotten to where they were yet and struck that ball field. It shook the ground and knocked several people down.
The lightning actually struck Zach.
It went in the back of my head and came out my feet.
Instantly, Zach went down and was unresponsive.
His undershirt and outer shirt were burned and melted together in places and split apart in places. The sport pants that he was wearing, the entire right side of the right leg was all split and melted and burned. His cell phone that was in his back pocket was fried, its screen shattered, buttons and covers blown off, and some of the buttons melted. And the lightning blew small holes in his shoes as it exited his body.
The camp evangelist started CPR immediately. Paramedics soon arrived and worked on Zach inside the ambulance while people prayed outside. Zach's dad, Russell, remembers getting the call from a relative.
They said Zach got struck by lightning and he's not responding.
Russell started contacting relatives and picked up his wife, ready to take the drive to be by his son's side, when his phone rang again and it was the news that they had been working on Zach for about a half hour and still no response. But then he said,
Wait a minute, they're opening the door. He said, oh my goodness, they get a pulse.
In emotional, Sherry Sandy, along with her husband Russell, say that without the CPR administered by friend Caleb Tisdale, their 18-year-old son Zachary would not have survived a lightning strike to the head.
I know there's folks that have survived these kind of types of injuries or whatever, but I just, it's a miracle that there was somebody who knew CPR.
But even after the near-death experience today, they say there is a calmness inside both them and their son.
Whatever happens, we know that God's in control.
Even though there was a pulse, there were still a lot of concerns. But Russell says,
at that point, I felt a calmness come over me, like, that's it, God's in control. He stepped into this situation. He's going to spare my child.
Concerns like brain damage, internal organ damage, even the possibility of blood marrow damage remained. Pastor Joseph.
The amazing thing throughout all of this is that we were first told that when you go this long without a pulse and breath, that brain damage is likely. And we were very thankful for the CPR, which reduces the chance of that. But when Zach eventually came to, he instantly knew everyone, instantly had all of his sense of humor and personality. He had a little bit of difficulty with short-term memory early on, which has quickly dissipated. And on Friday after the accident, he took a memory test and scored 3 out of 30. And on Monday of the following week, he took the same test and scored 27 out of 30.
It's been a huge miracle. And I just attribute it to everyone's faith that was here that day, Caleb's quick thinking, and they've changed CPR now. But the doctors at the emergency room told us that you have to give breaths to a lightning strike victim. And even though we felt no pulse, I began to talk in Zach's ear and pray. And when Caleb would do the compressions, I could see Zach's nose was blue and his ears and his mouth was blue. And I could see the blue, never got pink, but the blue began to recede.
and it began to be less of a severe color and stuff. And so it was just an unbelievable miracle. And I want to thank Jesus Christ for what he did that day. He was with us, and the Bible says he'll be with us in all times and all seasons, and he was certainly with us that day.
Family says it has been an emotional roller coaster waiting for good news from the doctors. Well, say they got that good news, and they're calling this a miracle.
Some people might say that they don't believe it's a miracle because Zach was not instantly restored to 100%. There is a difference between a miracle and a healing. One seems to be instantaneous while the other takes time. Zach is the recipient of both a miracle and a healing. With regard to the fact that there has been a period of time for the healing to take place, let me bring your attention to what the Holy Scripture says in Psalm 51, verse 8. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. That's the NIV. The King James Version says it this way: make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Sometimes we read these verses and wonder, what on earth could that mean? Why would God break our bones or crush our bones, only for us to turn around and say that now we're going to rejoice over it? To bring some hint of possibility of explanation, let me mention for you something that many years ago I heard regarding shepherds of that time, that if there was a lamb who was in danger and this lamb needed to stick more closely to the shepherd sometimes would take and intentionally break a bone in the leg of this lamb. And then he would set the break, and then he would carry that lamb on his shoulder every day until that bone was knitted and healed. The end result of this was that all that time of being close to the shepherd, hearing the shepherd's voice, feeling the shepherd's love, hearing the shepherd's heartbeat, would build such a relationship with the shepherd that even after this lamb was whole and strong and able to leap and run and jump, this lamb would never again stray very far away from the shepherd. I don't know that that's the reason, but it could be an explanation. And if not an explanation for Zach, it could be an explanation for some terrible thing that you have gone through. The Bible does not say that all things are good, but the Bible does say that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. With that, let's turn our attention to another song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their project entitled Where Strength Begins, the name of this track is Blessing in the Thorn.
What I feel is arms around me,
said the strength of Christ is perfect in my weakness. And the more that I go through, the more I prove the promise true. His love will go to any length, it reaches even out to where I am. But tell me once again, does the thorn become a blessing? And does the pain become a friend? And does the weakness make me stronger? And does my faith make me whole? I wanna feel his arms around me in the middle of my raging storm, so that I could see the blessing in the thorn. Lord, I have to ask you, on the cross you suffered through, is there a time ever doubt what you already knew? And does the thorn become a blessing? When does the pain become a friend? When does my weakness make me stronger? I wanna feel his arms around me in the middle of my raging storm, so that I can see the blessing in the thorn. Oh, I wanna see the blessing in the thorn.
The Pentecostal Publishing House was thrilled with my latest novel, The Last Bye. That's bye as in journey, B-Y-E. They already have this latest installment in my Bright Future series available on their website and in their catalog. You can find them online at PentecostalPublishingHouse.com. All of my novels, New Immortal, Tesseract, and The Last Buy, are available on Amazon.com and at AuthorStock.com, as well as wherever great books are sold. This last novel, the latest installment in the Bright Future series, is a thrilling adventure tale that you're going to love. As a matter of fact, not only you, but your children as well. Especially if you love the Chronicles of Narnia series by C.S. Lewis, you will find this tale especially endearing. The ebook version is available for computers and phones and tablets, all manner of portable devices, via the Kindle publishing platform. You can read free samples available through Kindle or AuthorStock.com. Until next time, God bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.